Well, good evening. It's been a pleasure being here with you, getting to see those I met last year. I get to see you again. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here and to have the privilege to come and speak to my brothers and sisters in Christ. And before I begin my lesson today, please go ahead and open up your Bibles, if you will. Isaiah chapter 53, really we'll begin in chapter 52. Will you bow with me in prayer, please? Our most gracious and holy Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your most holy name. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness and your grace, for your love for us, the salvation of our souls. We thank you for our daily bread and all that you provide us with as we walk in your will to serve you on our journey to meet you in heaven. I ask your blessing this day as we consider the death, the burial, the resurrection, Heavenly Father, and all that it implies. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Was the Apostle Paul who said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now wait, the just shall live by faith. What caused that? What even caused the Apostle Paul to make that comment that his desire was to live for Jesus? And he even said, "It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." What created that movement? What caused Paul, who had been a Pharisee, now he's an apostle, and he made that statement? Well, I want us to take a look at Isaiah chapter 53, because you know that when Paul and Peter and all of those went to preach and teach the gospel, they couldn't open up and say, "Well, read Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. They couldn't say, "Let's read Romans 6. And they preached from the Old Testament. And I want to share with you in a small microcosm what they preached in reference to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Messiah, the good news, the salvation of mankind. In Isaiah chapter 52, if you'll look at verse 13, it begins. This is really a song that Isaiah is writing. And it's about a servant who's going to be wounded, but also who's going to be exalted. But he begins with the exaltation because he says, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely." Now, by the way, when you look at the word wisely, what he's trying to say is, he's going to carry out the will of God. That's what that word's indicating, that he will carry out the will of God. That's his purpose. That's what's driving him. So this servant that's fixing to be wounded is driven by the will of God. By the way, you know that's true about Jesus, don't you? For whenever Satan tempted it, he says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." So he was wise. It says, "He shall be lift high and lifted up and shall be exalted." Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said about him? By the way, when he talks about exaltation here, we know it's about the resurrection, because this guy's fixing to die, but yet he's going to be exalted. "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existed in the form of God, counting himself not equal with God, but emptying himself, becoming a servant, being made in the likeness of man, and being found even unto death." And he was going to be highly exalted above every name. Who? Jesus. He would be called Lord to the glory of God the Father. He would be the glory of God the Father. So what is God doing with this servant? Let's watch. Now watch, he's going to contrast here not only his exaltation, that God's going to exalt him because he is wise, he has kept the will of God, but he's going to contrast that with humiliation. He's going to be humiliated. Now watch what happens here. "As many were astonished at you." In other words, here are all these kings on the earth, and they're looking at this guy, Jesus, who's been beaten. Now, let me show you to the extent that he was beaten. And when they look at that, they said, how could that be the king? How could that be the king of Israel? How could that be the new David? To be sacrificed that just like a criminal and with criminals. And by the way, take a look. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of children of mankind. By the way, you want to know why somebody had to help him carry the cross? They beat him with an inch of his life before they took him there. And so here he is saying, how could that be the king of Israel? Kings looked at it, they laughed at it. If I, a king would say, well, that's not going to happen to me. You'd have to come over my army. Well, guess what? Jesus could have called an army. 72 legions, 720,000 angels. But he's not like men. He didn't respond like men. He had a mission. And he doesn't do what kings do. And they reject him. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Wow. Here he is. Not only is he going to be exalted, but he was humiliated. And by the way, the idea of sprinkling many nations, you walked into the Holy of Holies and the high priest would sprinkle the blood over the Ark of the Covenant for the sins, his sins and for the sins of the nation. So he's going to shed his blood and be that sacrifice. And so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which was not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understood. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 53. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look upon him. Not talking about him being ugly. He's talking about Israel was saying, how can a carpenter be our king? How can this guy who grew up in a poor family be a king? How can this man who walks around with a bunch of fishermen be the king? How can someone like him be the king of Israel? He has no majesty. He doesn't have any power. He doesn't dress like a king. He doesn't act like a king. And no beauty that you should desire him. And in other words, guess what? There wasn't any pomp and circumstance attached to Jesus. In the robes and the garbs and all of the fancy things and in his wealth. He was everything that was diametrically opposed to what a king was, what a great man the world would assume would be the king of Israel. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows. You bet he was. Man, when your own friends leave you hanging alone, don't tell me you didn't experience sorrow. When you're denied by your closest and betrayed by one who's close to you and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. What do you mean, we? Isaiah speaking on behalf of Israel, we rejected him. You know they did, they crucified him. And so then we pick up in verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. In other words, what they're saying is, this guy died because he was a criminal, and that's how we viewed him. We did not view him as our king. By the way, Herod tried to say, this man's not guilty of anything, and they cried for his blood. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Now, folks, this is extremely important because here's a servant who had this insight that I've got a mission. I am going to be offering myself, and nothing is going to deter me from this mission. I will offer my life. No man taketh my life, said Jesus. He said, I give it. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, I've done this to get to the main point that I think seems to be a problem in the church being excited about living for Christ, taking the gospel to the lost, being engaged with people, being different than the world. And it's this next section. Watch what he says about this servant who will die. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Are you ready for this? He didn't make a defense. He didn't cry out and say, this is unfair. He didn't call the 72 legions of angels. He did not make a defense because it was not about him. He didn't even open up his mouth and cry and weep when they beat him and drug him to the cross. He didn't object when they accused him falsely. Because you see, this whole thing was not about him. It was about you. You that he had to go to the cross and die for. And if he had made it any about him at all, he would have yielded to the temptation of self and actually failed in this process. You were why he did it. Completely, totally, 100% for you. For man, he did it. What a sacrifice. Well, wait a minute. Romans 12. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, for this is acceptable worship to God. Do you mean that my life is supposed to be about you? Not me. You. You can't give all that stuff up in your life if it's not about others. If it's about you, you won't. If it's not a love for others, for what's happening to them, what will happen to them, what could happen to them, and what you could do in service to them to encourage, to lift up, and to exalt, then it's about you. It's not a sacrifice then. He said, now let me remind you, I gave you one commandment. Love as I loved you. Now you tell me what I just said is not right. I know why the church doesn't stand up and shake, and the earth doesn't shake underneath us. I'm talking about the shaking of lives. Because there is this failure to understand. Life is not about me. It's about my wife. It's about my children. It's about my grandchildren. It's about my brethren. It's about those that I work with and I know and the acquaintances I have in this world that God lets me walk in. That's what it's about. Now, am I willing to give my life for the sake of others to prove that I not only love God, but I love my neighbor and that I love myself enough in a godly way to love God and my neighbor? I have to be like my master. If I don't love you, then I can't say this next statement. I can't make this statement that Paul made. Now, do you understand that? If I don't love you and I don't show that, and if life is about me and it's not about those that are around me, and I don't let go of all the things that have to do with my pride, my desires, and my preferences, all let go of me and that old life, then I can't say this. And neither can you, by the way. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. By the way, he said, love as I've loved you. And you can't divorce that. You can make Christianity all kinds of things. You can make it all forms of religion. But if that is not its premise, it's not Christian. It's not Christ-like. It's not understand that I happen to have an opportunity, even though I'm not perfect at it and I'm flawed, but by the grace of God, because Jesus made it possible for me to be in a relationship with my Father, that I can act like my elder brother, Book of Hebrews, Jesus. I'm going to tell you why the church is sick. You say, well, Mike, we're not sick. Okay. If you're not, great. But I believe the church in general is sick. Because it has forgotten to be like their master. live like their master, think like their master, walk like their master. For he came and exposed what was wrong with man. Why man was going to be condemned? Because of man's own selfish self. You see, whenever Jesus controls your life, you quit lying and you quit pretending. You quit acting like something you're not. You're honest with God, with your family and friends. You're just honest. And you're always willing to take ownership of what you need to change in your life so that it doesn't impact the lives around you and take from them and depress them and bring them down or cause them to lose hope. He was like a lamb that was dumb, didn't open his mouth, because he knew if he opened his mouth and complained, you don't think it hurt? You don't think he was disappointed? You don't think it was a hard time? If he had opened his mouth and complained, then Satan could have said, see, it's really not about men. It's not about saving them. Don't you understand that whenever you are not about the saving of somebody in your life, and you have that responsibility, the saving of those that are in your life, you're to live and act and be in a way that provides them an opportunity, an access, and even a bridge to God because you love them. And if that's the case, you don't fight about stupid stuff. You don't get upset because one guy believes something you don't quite believe or anything else. Or because somebody didn't speak to you, and you don't even know why they didn't speak, but you're just upset because they didn't. See, you don't do these kind of things. They don't dominate your life. That's not how you operate. Jesus bore my sin. He made it possible that God, by His grace, is going to allow me to have the opportunity to act like Jesus, to grow more like Jesus, and to really impact lives because I do love those around me. You know, you can't fool a little dog or a little child. You ever notice they know if you like them or not, and if you're one of these kind of old sour adults and everything else, that kid, you know, the kid's going to kind of stay back a little bit. Dog's going to growl at you. You can't fool God either, and you can't fool the rest of us. Did you know that? And frankly, we're tired of some fooling us because you always have to be pandered to. You always have to be pleased before you even act like you like others in your life. Well, you're not going to be pleased in a hot place called hell. You understand that, don't you? I mean, you do understand that, don't you? That's a reality. And you don't make people pay. Jesus didn't make people pay. Even the woman that was caught in adultery, He didn't make her pay. He encouraged her. He said, does anyone accuse you? She said, no. He said, neither do I. After He encouraged, then He instructed, go and sin no more. Who are you and I to exact payment from anyone? And we've got to be careful about being the judges we are. He died for all men. Look what this thing says. Run over, if you will, with me to verse 11. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be counted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Wait a minute. He was numbered with a what? Man, they hung him with thieves. He was numbered with them. He was willing to go to the cross and even saved one of the thieves. Because look at the next passage. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Now I want to close with a passage. I want you to run to Philippians chapter 3. And I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Now I want you to remember who Jesus is. He's the one that said nothing. He's the one that did not defend himself. You know, you love people, you don't make a defense. You don't get defensive if you love people. You don't get defensive if you love people. If you're being defensive, it's because you're not loving. And if you do it enough, it's because you don't love people. You bring grace into the lives of people. You bring hope and joy and forgiveness and support and encouragement. You don't bring sadness and sorrow and depression and anger and envy and pride. Are you going to give it up tonight? I'm kind of curious. Am I going to give up what I need to give up? I mean, seriously, are you? Are you just going to hold on to it? You don't want anybody to know that even you know you ought to give it up. Well, then you didn't give it up. God offers you an invitation every day you wake up. And He's offering you one tonight to change your life forever. To let go. To be like Him. To admit and to own it. And say, I know You'll forgive me, Father. And You'll be gracious. And You'll be kind. And You'll reach out to others. And You'll lift them up. And You'll be a healer. You won't be a disease in someone's life. I had one time in counseling, a lady said, do you have a, is there an inoculation? I said, an inoculation? She said, yeah. I'd like to be inoculated for my husband. Oh, she was serious, man. And he's sitting over there with his mouth open. He needed to hear it. And by the way, they are still together. But listen to this. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Don't you get that? Whatever gain I had, whatever I was working for and pushing and desired, I count it loss now. Because it was taking me away from people and from the things that God wanted me to do. And it was my concern and not you. But you're supposed to be my concern. That's how leaders are to look at it. People are supposed to be the concern. That's how you're supposed to look at it, Christian. People are supposed to be your concern. And no matter how they act, no matter how they reject you, just like they rejected Him, you still reach out and want to redeem. I mean, that is you, right? That's how you do things. Think, feel, act. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the passing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. What do you mean, knowing Him? Well, Paul said in knowing Him, guess what? I got rid of the old man. He's not a part of my life now. He's not sucking life out of me and the life out of others. And by the way, you don't think Paul sucked the life out of some people? He held the cloak while they killed Stephen. Don't tell me Paul didn't suck the life out of people. He said, but in knowing Christ, I don't do that anymore. All that's gone. That's not where I want to be. I want to be like Him because there's only freedom in love. You do understand that, don't you? By the way, in a kind word, an encouraging word. Well, I don't have a kind or encouraging word to say. Well, at least be kind enough to keep your mouth shut. I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Watch this now. Not having a righteousness of my own. In other words, it's not about me. Jesus could have claimed a righteousness on His own, but He gave it up for your sake. You start giving up your self-righteousness for the sake of others in your life. You stop believing that, well, you know, I'm right, and so I'm justified in this, so I'm going to get me a little justice. Boy, do we ever seek justice. You know, I was right, so I was justified in talking like that, acting like that, being like that, withdrawing like that, treating them like that. Why, you heathen, you unholy person, you can be dead right and at the same time dead wrong. You do know that, don't you? If you're going to be dead to anything, be dead to the old man and alive to Christ. Let it change your life. Let it make a difference. All this fussing, fighting, struggles, strife, complaints, whining. It's all about us. And when I do it, it's not about you. And that's when I have to fall on my knees and say, Father, forgive me. For I was taking life instead of giving life. I wasn't sacrificing and giving up the old. I was trying to elevate it again. I was trying to promote it again. I was trying to have my way again. And be found in Him not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. Now watch this. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now I want you to really listen to this. Because if you're not going to engage Jesus on the level that we've been talking, you do understand there will not be a resurrection of the righteous for you. Because you're denying the will of God. You're not like that servant who gave his life and who was wise. He obeyed God. Now quit looking around in your mind. Now the person around you is somebody in your life, and you better put a mirror up in front of you, the Word of God that we're talking about it, and let it reflect who you are. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His suffering. Oh, wait a minute. Share His suffering. Wow, wow. Don't you understand that suffering creates the good? I'm going to give this up for you. That creates good. And I want to be part of what's good. No matter what it costs, I want to be the part of good. Well, I might do these good works and then that person be elevated. Oh, amen. Let them. Some of you need to repent tonight. And you know it. Oh, well, preacher, why'd you say that? Because I know what it's like to have to repent. I know what it's like to want to let go. I know where I was, I know where I want to be, and I know what I want to do for Jesus. And I'd rather give it all up just to see the smile, the happiness, the peace, and the life of somebody that I was willing to take the time to touch. Is that how you feel? I didn't invent that. Jesus did that. I'm just trying to act like Him because it sets me free of who? Me! Me, the destroyer. Your own self is the destroyer. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His suffering, becoming like Him in His death. How did He die? With His mouth shut for you and I. I'm going to die to me and keep my mouth shut about me that you might live. See, that's what a Christian does. That makes a difference in the body of Christ. It makes a difference in your marriage, in your home, at work, everywhere else. But Mike, it'll cost, sure it will. But you love, don't you? And you'd do anything for love to have its way with those whom God gave you the stewardship of in your life. Amen? You ever seen a mama love a little baby? All night long? Ooh. Well, I'm sure glad my wife was that way. You know, all night long getting up, diapers and everything. You know. But I mean, she loved. That's the love I'm to have. Whatever it costs. Like the mother who was walking in the national park and a black bear broke out on her little kid and she ran and just threw herself screaming into that black bear and that black bear killed her and some people grabbed the little kid and ran. That's love. That's the real thing. Why do I have to have it? That by any means possible, I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existed in the form of God, but counted it nothing. He became a servant and gave his life. And God exalted him. You want to be exalted and raised from the old person? Then do what Jesus did and love those around you as we stand and sing.